Our theme at Oceanside for this year is just one soul. And fortunately for our congregation so far this year, there have been three individuals who have been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and have been added by the Lord to His church. Because of this theme, I try once a month to pick a topic that revolves around this particular theme. Last month, we studied this particular topic. What are we looking for? We have been commanded by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we also know that as we take the gospel to individuals, not everyone is going to be receptive to that message, and not everyone is going to obey the gospel of Christ. That means that you and I are out looking for a particular type of individual, an individual who has a very unique set of qualities and attributes. And once we find that person, we can rest assured that that individual will obey the gospel of Christ. Today I want us to continue looking at our theme, Just One Soul, but I want us to look at it from a different standpoint. And the title of our lesson very simply is this: What is the seeker seeking? Whether we realize it or not, there are individuals in our world who are truly seeking salvation. These individuals want to be right with God. These individuals want to have salvation. They want to have hope beyond this wheel or this world. And they are doing everything they can do in order to find that. And there are certain things that those individuals are looking for, and when they find them, they rejoice in what they find. So what I want us to do over the next few minutes is look at some of the things that these individuals are looking for. What is the seeker seeking? Number one, he is seeking truth. We live in a world today that teaches what is known as relativism. What that means is this: each one of us determines our own truth. Even if my truth conflicts with your truth, that's okay, the world says. But what I find interesting is that there are many individuals who realize that relativism is false. Relativism is a false doctrine, and yet they still understand that there is a truth that exists in the world. They believe what Jesus said, and they're well aware of His words in John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These individuals are not ignorant of the fact that there must be a truth that exists in the world, and that truth has certain qualities and certain attributes that it possesses. Here are some of them. They know that truth does not contradict itself. They understand that truth never, ever, ever changes. They also know that truth is something that is understandable. Truth is that which opposes error, and truth is that which stands forever and ever. These individuals are looking for truth, and all they want is truth in its simplicity and in its power. Wow. I want you to stop and just think about that, folks. There's somebody out there, somebody in Atlantic Beach, Neptune Beach, Jack's Beach, Jacksonville, somebody near us who wants truth. What I find interesting is that God understands that there are those kind of people in our world. And because of that, He has given certain exhortations to us as the church. And here are just a few of them. He tells us, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. He tells us, speak the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2, verse 11. He exhorts us to speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. He tells us not to think of men above that which is written. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And He also exhorts us not to add to the word nor take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. You see, God knows that there are individuals in the world who are seeking truth, not the words of men. They don't want anything added to the truth. They don't want anything taken away from the truth. And thus we are exhorted to what? Preach the word. preach sound doctrine, speak only the oracles of God. And when we finally find that person, folks, he rejoices that he has found truth. Secondly, what is the seeker seeking? He is seeking forgiveness. Again, there are people in this world who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their lives are being lived in a very vile, evil, wicked, and sinful way. They know that. These individuals' lives involve things like smoking, drinking, partying, drugs. Their lives revolve around sex and multiple partners and multiple marriages. These individuals' lives are lived in very rough places, and they associate themselves oftentimes with some very rough individuals. Lying, hatred, anger, violence are a daily part of their lives. Within their lives there is hypocrisy, there is covetousness, there is slothfulness and wastefulness. Folks, those are individuals who are in our world. Those are individuals who are living just outside the doors of this church building, and they know their lives are full of sin. Those individuals also are experiencing the burden of those sins. Those individuals are tired. Those individuals are spent. Those individuals are hurting. Those individuals are alone. And my friends, those individuals feel dirty and worthless. Again, I want you to just stop and think about that for a moment. Somewhere out here, now we have to go find them, don't we? But somewhere out there, there's a person who feels everything that we have just talked about. I am a sinner. I am lost. And I'm tired of it. I'm burdened with it. Folks, all they want to do is find forgiveness and relief. That's all they want to find. And again, God understands their plight, doesn't He? In fact, the Bible describes God in Psalm 130, verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with thee." Wow. You see, there's a place that these individuals can go. There's a place that these individuals can be directed to wherein they can obtain the relief that they desire for this burden that they are feeling. What was it that Jesus said? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," He says, Matthew 11, verse 28. You see, through His Son, Jesus Christ, there is rest. Jesus wants to take that burden off. He doesn't want those individuals to feel that tiredness and that life that is not well spent and a life of burden. Jesus says, "Just come to me," and there's rest that can be given to you. Listen to what Peter says. There in Acts chapter 5, verse 31, him, talking about Jesus, "hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance unto Israel," and watch this, "and the forgiveness of sins." You see, we knock on a door and we ask someone, "Are you tired of living in sin? Are you tired of being burdened with all of those transgressions and all of those iniquities?" That individual says, "Oh yes, I'm extremely burdened." Well, I know a place you can go for total, absolute forgiveness, and it's Jesus, the Son of God. What a message, folks. What is the seeker seeking? Very closely connected to our last point, he's seeking redemption. Individuals who are in sin feel like that they are enslaved to sin, and the reality is that they are. Sin governs them. Sin controls their life. Sin dictates the things that they do and the things that they don't do. Those individuals feel as though Satan has them entrapped and in bondage, and the only thing that they want is to be freed. All they want is to be rescued from their lifestyle. And again, God understands, doesn't He? He looks down from his throne on high and he sees these individuals that are trapped, just as he saw Israel in the days long ago, entrapped by Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, burdened with all of those difficult tasks. Individuals are just like that, but under sin. And God looks down and he says, I'm going to deliver you. In fact, I've already made that provision for you. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, and the Bible says that Jesus gave His life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. We go to an individual and we ask them, do you need to escape the bondage of Satan? Oh, yes. I've got good news for you. The price has been paid. The ransom has been paid. You've been redeemed. And it was a high cost, was it not, brethren? It was valuable. It was expensive. It cost the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. It cost the Son of God His life to redeem man out of the clutches and bondage of sin. But guess what? It's available, is it not? And it's available to all those who seek to be redeemed. Fourthly, there are people today whose lives have been totally shattered by sin, and they know it. And all they seek is some form of transformation. Folks, they want to quit being stained by sin and be cleansed of sin, don't they? They're individuals who are presently living and groping and moving around in darkness, but they would love to be able to find the light. They are individuals who have lived lives that are wasted and useless and have very little purpose, and they desire to have more than that in this world. You see, they desire transformation. I wonder how many individuals in our community woke up this morning and thought to themselves, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something different. I wish my life could be radically transformed and improved from my present state. I'll guarantee you, they're out there. You know that? And they long for something better. And folks, it's by means of the gospel of Jesus Christ that that transformation can take place, can it not? The very moment an individual yields himself in obedience to the truth, he is immediately cleansed from every sin that he has ever committed. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. But notice what else happens. God doesn't leave that individual over here in the world anymore, does he? God takes that individual and he picks him up and he transports him. He moves him. He translates him into a different place. Paul says in Colossians 1:13, who, that being God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God doesn't want us in the world anymore. He knows that's a terrible place. He knows that's a sinful place. He knows that's the realm of Satan. So at our conversion, He moves us into the church. He moves us into the kingdom, the called out ones. Oh yes, we're living in the world, but we're no longer part of that filth and vile and nastiness and satanic forces that are therein. My friends, we are now under the reign and control of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, as we serve and labor in His kingdom now. You see, He translates us. He moves us from one place to another. But notice also, every day I can take this book and I can transform my life just a little bit more, can I? Every day. Isn't that what Paul said that we're supposed to do? And be not conformed to this world. But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. Study one passage of Scripture and just ask yourself, how do I apply this to my life? How do I take this passage and put it into practice? Because you see, the very moment I do is the moment I am changed. I am transformed into the very nature of the Son of God. And folks, that's what it's all about, is it not? Molding ourselves, developing in ourselves to become more like Jesus. In Romans 8, verse 28, Paul talks about being conformed into the image of God's Son. And it was the Apostle Paul who made this statement, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul knew what it was about. I'm not living for self anymore. Well, I've been transformed. I've been made again. I'm living a different kind of life now. I am now living to be like Jesus. Wow. You see, there's transformation available to those who want it. Folks, life does not have to be the same. It can be different. But how about this next one? They're seeking relationship. See, there's a lot of individuals who know I'm not in a right relationship with God. Now, in my mind, I would hate to admit that, wouldn't you? You see, we're Christians, most of us, aren't we? We know what it means to be in a right relationship with God, and if someone were to ask us, are you in that kind of a relationship, the one thing we want to be able to say is, oh, you bet, absolutely, I'm in a right relationship with God. But guess what? You can go right out here in this community and you can talk to individuals and you can ask them, are you right with God? And guess what they'll say? Not at all. Not at all. You see, they understand that their iniquities have separated between them and their gods, and their sins have hid His face from them, that He will not hear. Isaiah 59, verse 2. These individuals know that right now they are without Christ and without God in the world. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. These individuals know that they are alienated and that they are enemies in their minds because of the wicked works in which they are involving themselves at this present time. Colossians 1, verse 21. They know I'm separate from God. I don't have a relationship with God. I can't truly call upon God as my Father because I am not His child. It's a sad condition, isn't it? And yet, guess what? All of that can be radically changed. Now, here's something you won't hear many of those in the evangelical community or denominational community tell you, folks. Our relationship with God is changed through obedience. That's what it's changed by. Dick, can you prove that? Oh, absolutely. Listen to what Romans 6, just verse 16 says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Folks, I am the servant of the one I obey. If I want to be a servant of Satan, then I obey Satan. If I want to be a servant of God and have a relationship with Him, then guess what? I need to obey His will. Now, Paul talks about these individuals in the next two verses, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But listen to him again. Ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then when? When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Folks, obedience is what puts us in a right relationship with God. John says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 1, verse 6. He also says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. My friend, if you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You may think you do, but you don't. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Folks, obedience is absolutely necessary to developing a relationship with the Almighty God. Anybody can have it, but you've got to be willing to submit. Now here's what I love. My obedience does some things for me. It draws me to God, doesn't it? Number two, it enables God to make His abode with me. I could take every one of these points and we could develop them in an unbelievable way, folks. Number three, it puts God on my side, doesn't it? Now He's my Father. Now He's my Lord. Now He is the captain of my salvation. Now He is the one who is fighting for me. My obedience now gives me total, complete access at any time to the Father. Folks, my obedience keeps me constantly in the approval of God. You see, there's people out there who know I don't have a relationship with God. And what we need to be doing is teaching them, if you really want that, you're going to have to obey the Almighty God in whatever He asks you to do. Even if you don't understand or agree with the command, you do it. Next, what are the seekers seeking? Purpose in life. You know, I'm amazed at how many people live their lives with very, very little purpose. Very little. I'm about to list some things that talk about what individuals do in our world, and they're not sinful in nature. But notice, they raise a family. They may establish a business and try to grow that business. They work for somebody else maybe 40, 50, 60 hours a week. They try to keep fit, eat the right things, work out at the gym just a little bit, jog, whatever they need to do. These same individuals will spend their weekends just having a good time. Maybe it's at the lake, at the beach. These individuals are planning for retirement. They travel a little bit, and they love being in the company of their friends and maybe their family. Now, folks, that's what most individuals do. Here's my question. How much purpose is in that? I'm not saying there's no purpose. I wouldn't dare say that. But how much purpose is really in that for individuals? You see, the problem is that their life is not full. And it's really not meaningful, per se. So many individuals, other than satisfying themselves, don't have a whole lot of purpose, do they? What I find interesting is this. There is purpose found in Christ. And again, I could stop right here, and boy, we could just preach some sermons on this stuff, couldn't we? What are some of the purposes, folks? To develop into a Christ-like person? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You try to do that every day. That's some purpose, isn't it? I'm going to get up today and I'm going to live to be a little bit more like Jesus than I did yesterday. Purpose. I'm going to serve others. That's why I'm here, to serve others. But by love, serve one another. You see, it's not all about me. In fact, once I get rid of self and I turn my attention to others, then guess what? Life becomes a lot more meaningful. How about this one? To glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Here's another one. To shine my light to others. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? But let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16, I want to get up today, and when another person sees me, guess what? I don't want them to see darkness. I don't want them to see negativity. I want them to see light. I want them to see positivity. I want them to see Jesus living in me, don't you? Purpose, to bring forth fruit unto God, John 15:8, to seek and to save the lost. Folks, that one purpose right there is enough to keep us busy the rest of our lives. Because you got 7.6 billion folks to go talk to. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And finally, how about this one? to prepare for the judgment, folks. To prepare for the judgment. For we must all give an account of ourselves unto God according to Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Folks, we're going to do that. And knowing that I'm going to, it gives me purpose here to live in such a way that when I stand before God in judgment, I'm justified through the blood of Jesus. How about this one? A rewarding destiny. Did you know there's very few people in our world today who do not believe that a heaven and a hell exist? Very few. Oh yes, there's a few of those atheists. And even some of them, especially on their deathbed, have their doubts. You know that? Most individuals believe that there is something beyond this life. And the reason for that is because the Bible says God hath set eternity in their hearts. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. When God created us, He did so as an eternal being, did He not? And He gave us a soul that is going to live forever and ever beyond this life. Within us, He planted the seed of knowing that there's something beyond this world. Something. And people know that. It's almost scary, isn't it? And my friends, Jesus, He's the only way to a rewarding destination, isn't He? John 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall hear my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." On another occasion in the life of our Lord, He was standing talking to a good friend of His who had just lost her brother, Martha. And He looks at her and He says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall live, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Folks, it's through Jesus that we find a rewarding destination beyond this life. In the parable of the pearl of great price, there was a merchant man that was seeking for something, wasn't there? That's what Jesus says. He knew something was out there. In fact, He knew that the pearl of great price was out there. There is the most expensive pearl somewhere in the world, and guess what He did? He made up His mind that I'm going to find it, and He set out on a journey, and He sought after that pearl, didn't He? Would you have hated to be His kid? Every day, getting up, traveling to this place, that place, this jewelry shop, that jewelry shop, this oyster, that oyster. Looking for that pearl of great price. "Dad, it's been 5 years. I know, but it's got to be out there. Dad, it's been 10 years. I know, but it's got to be out there." And guess what? He found it. And he sold all in order to purchase it. The pearl of great price. See, my friends, what Jesus is telling us is this. There are people in the world today who are seeking salvation. They're looking for it. Our question is this. This morning, are you looking for truth? Are you looking for forgiveness? Are you looking for redemption? Are you looking for transformation? My friend, are you looking for a relationship? Are you looking for purpose in life? Maybe you're looking for a rewarding destiny in the hereafter. There's only one place where all of that's found. One place. And my friends, it's only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the only place. John in his prologue in John 1 verse 16 says this, And we have also all received His fullness and grace for grace. In Colossians 2, verse 10, Paul says this, "For we are complete in Him." If you have desires that need to be met, if you've been seeking something, my friend, you'll only find it, watch this, in Christ. It's the only place. Are you looking? We can put you into Christ today. There's only two passages, Romans 6, 3 and 4, Galatians 3, verse 27, that tells us how to get into Christ. And that's by being buried with Him in the waters of baptism. "For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, 26 and 27. If you believe in the Christ, that's essential to have faith in Him as the Son of God. If you're willing to die to that old way of living, step forward with great boldness and confess His name. We'll immerse you into Christ this morning to forgive you of all sin and all iniquity. Are you searching for something? Dear Christian, here's what saddens my heart, is to know that there's individuals who have had salvation in their possession and have left it. Let's not do that. If you've stepped away from the Christ in any way, you need to come back. Confess your sins, ask Him to forgive you of those sins, and He will. And Jesus' blood can cleanse you this very day. Do you need to respond to the invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?